B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, it's 3 o'clock hour of the Mike Misnelli Show. 3 o'clock hour is brought to you by Corbelli's Bakery and Deli. World famous tomato pie, hoagie party trays, every bit is good. We are all involved in a Sixer conversation here. Yeah, coming off a win, mind you, last night over the Spurs. But you can't fool this kind of fan base, because the fan base sees. And the fan base looks at this team and go, nothing's really changed. And it's a shame, because our expectations were a lot different. And we'll get back to the phone calls on this as well. There's a couple things to tie up from yesterday's show based on the news today. Another Seinfeld guy passes away. Or not really a Seinfeld guy, but he had a very interesting role in Seinfeld. But I remember him from the old Dirty Harry movie.
Who passed away?
That was Rennie Santoni, the Poppy, passed away.
Poppy passed away?
Poppy,
yeah.
Poppy passed away. Yes. So yesterday was Wilford Brimley, the postmaster, and today Poppy. And that was where Poppy didn't wash the hands in the bathroom, and had his hands in the dough.
Yeah.
And he came over to the table. He was, I'm going to make something real special for you and my Audrey.
Yeah, he's making the duck.
He's making the duck. Yeah.
And, even more succulent than he thought.
Right, the duck. Yes. And he made the flatbread pizza.
Yeah.
Put the hand in the dough.
Yeah, and then he ruined Jerry's couch.
Yeah, now a couple of things based on yesterday's conversation. We were talking about Nick Ashford.
Yes.
And somebody on Twitter reminded me that Nick Ashford was in a movie.
Wait, what?
A movie that we both like.
A movie
that starred Wesley Snipes.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. You talking about New Jack City?
New Jack City.
He was the preacher. Yeah.
And the guy came in, right, with the gun.
Yeah.
You reckon the neighborhood. And Nick Ashford was taking contributions from Nino.
Yeah.
That was Nick Ashford.
I forgot that was Nick Ashford.
He was the preacher.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then after that, the guy shows up, and that's when Ice-T is infiltrated. He takes the gun from him and walks the old man out the building.
Exactly right.
That was all stemmed from when the preacher. You're not a preacher.
Correct. It was Nick Ashford.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah, I think that may have been his only movie role.
Yeah, I don't remember anything else.
Yeah, and somebody brought. The guy, the villain that we were talking about, who was in The Firm, that albino looking villain guy. Also was in Seinfeld.
Really?
Yeah. Yes.
Wait, which episode?
Such a small world.
Remember when Jerry and Elaine wanted to spend some time with the indigent older people?
Yes.
And Jerry got Mr. Fields.
Oh yeah, the goiter.
The goiter. That's right. The Mahatma.
Yes.
Right? She had an affair with Gandhi.
Yes.
And Mr. Fields had all these records.
Yeah.
And so the Kramer and Newman took the records, and they went to the record shop. That guy owned the record shop.
Wow.
That was the guy who owned the record shop, that villain guy.
Yeah, now that you mentioned it, I didn't put it together at all.
Yes, because he had normal hair then.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a small world when you cut these cross worlds.
It is a small world.
Yeah.
Who would have thought Nick Ashford would lead to so much?
Yeah, Nick Ashford. How about Nick Ashford in New Jack City?
That's awesome.
Let's go to Brian in Washington Crossing. Brian, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Brian.
Thank you. How's everybody doing?
What's up, Brian?
So, first of all, Jim Lynham, he's just gone full Hobbit, right? I mean,
everybody's entitled to look the way they want to look. Like right now, I got motley, unkempt hair, right? And Jimmy might be looking at me and go, look at him, why don't you get a haircut? But when I saw him, I immediately thought of that character in Witness.
I mean, he's definitely got huge hairy feet behind that desk. That's all I got to say.
It's an interesting look for Jim. Oh, we're losing you, bro.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, up in Washington Crossing. Do they have any cell towers up there in that Bucks County enclave?
Yeah.
Right.
I'm using one of those stupid AirPods. Sorry about that.
That's all right.
But Brett Brown, man, he's all defense, right? Like, that was his whole thing. Like,
yeah, they had a good defensive profile. I don't know what happened to their defensive profile. It's been non-existent.
I mean, he's got two all defensive players. I mean, giving up these double digit leads in the fourth quarter just doesn't make any sense.
Their first exhibition game when they came back, it's what stood out, their defense. I don't know what happened to him. It's Will at this point. I know Jimmy was talking about guys not being in shape in the fourth quarter. They look like they were in shape defensively in those exhibition games.
I'm Jerry Kraft at this point. They can win the rest of the game.
Yeah, Brian, we got bad line on you there, so we're going to have to move on. Paul in Somerton. Paul, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Paul.
Thank you so much for taking my phone call this afternoon. I hope you guys are doing great.
Thanks, Paul. Thank you very much, bud.
No problem. So for me, it's why did we get rid of Bully Ball completely? The beginning of the season, first, the home opener, we owned Boston. Like, we were running all over them. There was nothing stopping it. I don't understand where his mindset just completely changed, and then he went back to having to shoot 33-point shots a game again.
Listen, they scored 132 last night. I mean, their three-point shot worked for them last night, so I don't know if you can look at it today and say they didn't play bully ball. Their defense led up 43 points in the fourth quarter.
Mike, I'm just saying in general. Like, I expected them to go maybe 6-2 and 5-3 in these seeding games or whatever you want to call them. But I'm just looking at the standpoint of you had your team built a certain way, and then you completely abandoned how your team was built. But I think that they need to go back to where Ben's the point guard, because I think Ben should have the ball in his hands every second of every minute of every quarter of every half of every game. And I still believe that they're going to beat the Lakers in six. I'm not going to change from that until, obviously, they're eliminated from the playoffs, which I don't see it happening. I truly believe that this team is going to win the championship this year. I've been saying it for the last 4 years. I'm not going to change my mind on it. I just want Brett to do the right thing and put Ben back at point.
Yeah, bro, you smoking the chronic. You think this team's going to win an NBA championship. Seriously.
I love you too, Mike. I love you.
No, seriously. There's one thing being optimistic. There's another thing going overboard. Like, what do you think is miracle is going to happen and it's going to make them good enough to beat the Lakers in the NBA Finals?
I think the switch is going to go and Ben's going to start shooting jumpers like he should be.
Ben's going to shoot jumpers.
Ben's going to shoot jumpers.
So,
yeah.
You're a hallucinogenic.
What?
All due respect. This is a joke call, right?
No, I'm 100% telling you how I really feel. This is not a joke.
All right. If that's the way you feel, I respect it. But to think that Ben's going to shoot jumpers is a little misguided, bro. I don't think you're going to see that.
You don't think he's ever going to have that switch go off?
Right now he's going to shoot jumpers? Right now? Like, as they continue to play, he's going to shoot?
I do.
What indication do you get that that's going to happen?
Because if he wants to be the top five player in the league, if he wants to go down...
He already thinks he is one of the top five players in the league.
Top 15.
Yeah. All right, listen. That's all right. I'm asking for how everybody feels. That guy feels... That guy's in the fairy tale land. Oh. Really? Oh. That was one thing after another. First, they're going to beat the Lakers. Second, Ben Simmons is going to shoot jumpers.
Well, how?
I think...
Why will he shoot? Like, based on what?
There is no...
I can see how there was optimism heading into...
Yeah.
The season, because anything could have happened over the pandemic. It's easy to get swept up. But now that what we're witnessing is not remotely anything close to the dreams of grandeur that perhaps some of us, including myself,
here's the reality, right? There's no chance they get close to the NBA Finals with this team. None. Best you can hope for, you win a couple series, maybe they get to the Eastern Conference Final. There's no way they can get to the NBA Finals with this team. They are not good enough.
And
no.
you said the thought has been, you'll know early. It's been two games.
And you're seeing it right away.
Yeah.
They're the same team that, you see, teams show what they are. You know? They were the 16 for a reason. And to think that they were going to be different was a misguided thought. Sean in Delaware, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Sean.
Good afternoon, everyone.
What's up, Sean?
Thanks for taking my call. This is going to be kind of redundant from the prior call because you kind of made my point. And my hear it say Tyrone, I know he's a big fan, supporter of Ben. But I traded Ben 2 years ago because he's not taking the 15-foot jumper. I don't want him shooting threes. I just want to simply a consistent, just take a 15-foot jumper to help everybody else.
You and I are the same when it comes to that. Yes. I totally agree with you.
He could put up Larry Hughes number 3 for 18. I mean, not that bad. But all I'm asking for is just take it. It opens it up. And until he does, they need to really be honest and entertain some trade options in the offseason. Devin Booker, Damian Lillard, somebody to come due to the contract. But other than that, that's my call. Have a great day.
Well, now hold on a second because I want to have a discussion with you. What makes you think that Ben Simmons is worth Devin Booker? So you're presuming that his value would be such that you would get a star player in return.
Well, a few years ago you could have because everybody was still hyped on Ben. Now I think everybody recognizes maybe not. So you probably won't be able to get him. Now,
so you're going to have him next year. And I agree with you. I told you that this is not going to even happen next year that he's going to shoot the ball, which means the year after I'm thinking the way you're thinking. But I've got to play it out at least one more year.
Well, but here's the thing, Mike. In 2 games back, I've seen him get multiple rebounds, and he just sprints down the court, and he passes. And I'm like, dude, layup's there. Get a foul.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, maybe his time for not being from really from America, I don't know how the game is played outside the country, so I really can't speak on that. All I know is he's not helping the team out by not taking
it. Listen, I'm with you. I'm with you. He's the most frustrating player that I've ever seen in me watching the Sixers. Because I'm just overwhelmed at his ability, and I just don't understand the mindset of a guy in the NBA not willing to shoot the basketball. I don't get it.
It's either his stats, which makes everybody say he's conceited and take that stance against him, or is it that he's really not confident? I remember reading hearing something about him having a personal psychosis.
It's definitely a confidence problem. He doesn't want to. I think that he has been burdened by the notion of Ben perfection. He has been raised to be this perfect guy, and he realizes deep inside that that part of it is not perfect, and he can't show anybody because it would blow his perfect gig.
You know what's funny? I can't argue with anything you said about that, but there's no such thing as a perfect basketball player. Like, I wish he could get outside of himself for a second and realize that when Jordan first came in the league, he wasn't really that good of a shooter. LeBron, when he first came in the league, wasn't much of a shooter. Magic Johnson, Julius Erving, yet they all were willing. And they all, and then outside of Dr. J, who never really became much of a shooter, the other guys all got better. Mm-hmm. Even Magic with that push shot he figured out.
Right.
He should realize that you have to expose yourself a little bit to get better. And the only way to do that is in game.
But those guys weren't in denial of their flaw.
Right.
He is in mental denial of his flaw because I believe that he has succumbed to being this creation of what this super player is supposed to be. A 6'10 guy who can handle, can do all this stuff. And he is in denial and doesn't want to show the flaw part of it.
And the other part is, you were right in that the teammates, after he makes a three, make it a big deal is bad.
But
if he did it every game, the teammates would stop.
Well, yeah.
Like he did it the first game. Had he done it in the second game, there's no way they react the same way.
But that makes him go back in his shell when he sees something like that. Oh, these guys are making fun of the way I do that, so I'm not going to do it anymore.
But it's like a chicken or an egg at this point. You got guys that encourage him to shoot every day. Then when he does, are they supposed to just go, like, I think it's almost human. Like, if I said, Natalie, take that hat off, and you wore a hat every single day. If you showed up one day without a hat, I would make a big deal because I've been saying for a year not to wear a hat. You get what I'm saying, Natalie?
Yeah, like, I think it's interesting how, Mike, you said about his idea, him being perfect.
Yes.
Do you think it's because of the expectations? Before he even got into the NBA,
yes,
there was all these documentaries, all these series done.
That's
so then he's
part
like,
of the whole thing.
Yeah, so he just has to live up to this. Well,
They have built a brick wall of Ben, and he can't. He is now so indoctrinated with it that he can't now show any flaw.
But what about LeBron? He got called King James in high school.
Yeah, but LeBron
and
was
just
different.
Had to deliver.
He was gritty. He was a street kid. It was just different. He knew he had that burning desire. Ben was naturally gifted and created to be this natural beauty.
Yeah, but
of a player
in another sport, Sidney Crosby got a lot of hype before he ever touched the puck in the NHL. It just seems like I think there has to be more to it though, because while he has been heavily hyped, he's not the most hyped.
No,
because LeBron, Sidney Crosby was super hyped. He stepped in and he played at a high level, even though he didn't win. It took him a while to win a Stanley Cup. He still went and played. It's just I don't know.
Ben is from an affluent family in a pristine environment. There's a difference when you're raised in that kind of environment and you are told that you are a gift to the world. And that has how he has been created. And so, to me, he is a curious mental case that he's got to break through something. Because it's just unnatural that his mental, he's got such a mental block on showing a flaw that I don't know what to say about it anymore.
Yeah, it's really...
It's unnatural.
It's definitely a deep-rooted thing, because if he was seeing a psychologist, started to kind of open up about it, and now he reverts every single time. Every single time it seems like he's going to get close, he reverts. And he reverts in a terrible way.
And in this particular time, because of the position change, it's actually exacerbated.
Yes.
Because if he's shooting a little bit, like the one you brought up in the first game, Mike, where he had it in the paint, had the jump shot, and then kicks it out to Embiid with like 2 seconds left in the shot clock. Now it hurts the team in a different way by moving him to another position without the ball. But if he was willing, maybe they win. Maybe they win easier.
Listen, you're absolutely right. I keep going back to the analogy I made way long ago about this dude. It's the don't dance at a wedding analogy. It's the classic don't dance. But the man is not going to fast dance because I don't want people to make a fool of me. Now, most guys would go, well, at that point, who cares? But a guy who's been created to be perfect cares. Like the flawed guy would dance at a wedding. Who cares if people make fun of me? I'm just going to have some fun.
Yeah.
But he's been created to be this perfect entity where he does care that people are going to make fun of it.
Yeah, and now, and like Ty said, now that he is in that new position, maybe they thought that that was what was going to be the difference maker, but it's actually making it worse.
Because it could free his mind up. Because
exactly.
When you don't have to initiate the offense, he can say, I can get to this spot, I feel comfortable shooting here, I will catch it, I will shoot it. But that has not happened.
Seriously, this is not, like, this has never happened in the history of this league. Where a guy that's come into the league with that kind of ability who refuses to take a shot. Think about this. Of all the years that you've watched the NBA, all the years you've followed it, there is no one who's ever come into the league who has been afraid to take a shot. Now, there have been some funky, ugly-looking shots. There have been guys like Reggie Evans. There have been guys like Sean Marion who released it weirdly. But there's never been a guy who's been afraid to take a shot at that position of a backcourt position. Think about it. Who plays in the NBA who is afraid to take a shot? You don't get to the NBA. You don't get on a roster if that happens.
You're right.
Oh, let's go to Jay on the cell. Jay, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Jay.
Hey, Mike. I agree with everything you're saying, but I remember the last time I called you. You didn't have this energy. I told you Brett Brown was a problem. You basically laughed at me. Oh, you know, he's going to tighten up the rotation, guys like Korkmaz. And
I've never expressed any optimism about Brett Brown. I always said, we'll see with Brett Brown.
No, but I told you this was going to go on, and now you're basically saying what I said last time. This man, I don't know if Korkmaz or Nito have incriminating photos of this man.
For
no reason. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's absolutely...
Yeah, well, listen, it's going to play itself out. You're not right. Only thing I've said, it's going to play itself out. There's no way that he's going to keep his job if they don't reach past what they've done. So
okay,
you're going to wind up being right.
How do you know there's no way he's going to keep it? What evidence do you have?
Believe me, the ownership is not foolish enough to know.
He has two more years on his deal.
He's got one more year after this year.
One more year.
There's no way that ownership is not going to make a move here
if they don't achieve.
Well, because it would not be good business. You have to get people, your fan base engaged and interested in the franchise. If they lose again in the second round, or God forbid the first round, there's no chance they're not going to make a change. It's a good business to make a change.
I don't see it. I'm sorry. I mean,
you're telling me that the ownership would be fools. They can't have their fan base down.
I mean, they're fools. This is an incompetent.
Yeah, they got rid of Sam Hinkie. They made the change.
Well, they were forced to get rid of Sam Hinkie, sir.
All right. Well, they still made the change. They're not going
to
bring Brett Brown back if they lose early in the playoffs. They're just not. Trust me.
Listen, I see what you're saying. The one thing that infuriates me about this man, he actually has good talent. When they got Kyle O'Quinn, I'm not saying Kyle O'Quinn is a saver, but he's a legitimate backup center.
Oh, come on, dude. Okay? Come on, Matt. Stop it.
Listen, Greg, you
just shot your point to hell bringing up Kyle O'Quinn. He can't play. He's an old journeyman. Stop. Get out. Now you're starting to irritate me. 61063, Kyle O'Quinn, I got to hear today. That's the same as who was the backup center they had before?
Greg Monroe?
No, before Monroe. He was with the team for a couple years. I forget his name. Amir Johnson.
Oh, yeah.
Amir Johnson would have helped him. That's Kyle O'Quinn. Come on. 610-632-0975. We're back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
All right, 6:30. It's time to get down to Twitter poll numbers. Brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons with Natalie Nat.
Thanks, Mike. Today's poll, over 600 votes on this one. Do you feel better or worse after the Sixers win last night? 23% say better. 77% feel worse.
That's because you can't con this fan base.
No.
Now I got to hear Kyle O'Quinn. Poor guy.
Kyle O'Quinn! You make me pop your eyeball out of your head for Kyle O'Quinn?
Treating him like he's Charlie M. that's cold.
There's never an end to like when we bring up a character in a movie.
No.
Because the entries keep coming in. So this guy, that villain, the albino type of villain guy. We already identify him from The Firm and from he was the record shop owner in Seinfeld. There's also two more.
Okay.
He was the headmaster in The Sopranos. He was one of the headmasters.
Yes.
For AJ school.
Yeah.
Right? But he was also in Goodfellas.
Wait, what was he in Goodfellas?
He was in Goodfellas. He was the Jimmy Conway's parole officer.
He was the parole officer?
He came in, he got your pay stubs?
Yeah, when they met up and they were sitting next to each other, he had to go in. That was him.
They had the shoebox and cash.
Yeah.
Anyway, you got your pay stubs? He was the parole officer.
Wow.
Amazing.
Is he still, he's still alive?
I think he is.
All right.
All right, let's go. Chris in Florida. Chris, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Chris.
How you doing, Mike, man?
What's up, Chris?
Hey, man, I just want to say I'm highly disappointed in Brett Brown and also Elton Brand. I feel like he's not getting not many people are talking about him, because if you think about it, we have Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid. Why did we not go and get shooters instead of getting all Horford and resigning Tobias Harris?
Well, they had a cap situation, right? And they had a shooter in J.J. Redick. But he kind of outpriced himself. So who else did you want him to get? It's not just easy to pick a shooter off a tree, right? You got to make kind of a deal. So I'm curious to know what you would have done.
Honestly, I really don't know what was out there, but I'm sure with the pieces that he had, they could at least trade it for one, if not two, and try to get somebody coming here for free, because they had a lot of money, because they paid all over for a lot of money. They paid Tobias.
Yeah, but who are your tradable commodities to get a good shooter? That's the thing. You got to look at it all different angles here. Like, you can't give away Slop and get a really good shooter.
Okay, well, what about free agency? Don't you think they could have picked somebody else?
Well,
you
know, again, free agency is like when you're up against the cap number.
Okay, you know who was there? I'm sorry. You know who was there? Middleton. I remember Middleton was there. What if they paid more than the Bucks did?
Who? Middleton was a max contract player.
Right. So
they couldn't get it. They didn't have that kind of cap space to add Middleton.
Well, I wouldn't have signed Tobias or Aller. I feel like they're not a good fit here. So I think they might have money.
All right, so you would have let Butler and Tobias go and signed Middleton?
Yes, I would have. And another shooter. Maybe
Cap. You couldn't do that because what was the Bucks situation?
You can pay more when it's your own player.
Yeah.
So whatever, even if the Sixers offered the max, the Bucks would have to be willing to do a sign and trade. And there's no way they would do a sign and trade with the Sixers for Middleton because you'd be giving one of your rivals their second best player.
So you couldn't outbid Milwaukee for him.
Right. Okay. Well, I mean, I just don't think that this is the right.
I hear where you're going. I would, in a perfect world, I want shooters too. But the way they're capped out, you know, the money that they paid to their players now, they didn't have that much flexibility, and they decided they didn't want to hold on to JJ Redick at that price.
Correct. Yeah. I mean, going forward, I don't think Greg Brown's going to be here next year. But I also don't feel confident in our GM, to be honest.
You don't feel confident in who?
And Al Brand, or GM?
Elton Brand, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, he's going to keep his job. He's not getting fired. Elton's going to keep his job. Brett is the guy that will go. And I'll let Elton pick a coach. Has he distinguished himself? No. A lot of things haven't worked out the way he thought they were going to work out. He tried to patch it together by adding a couple guys to the trade deadline. You saw what that is. It's not going to make that much of a difference. Brenton, New Cumberland, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Brenton.
Hey, good afternoon.
What's up, Brent?
Hi to the three of you, but also my guy Connor, who answers the phone a lot whenever I call him.
Connor's a good man.
He is a good dude.
Yes.
I had to say hi to him. So I hope I didn't break any rules. But anyhow.
No, go ahead.
All right.
Connor doesn't get enough mention on this show.
Yeah, all right.
That's Connor not true.
There it is. But anyhow, so I wanted to call in, and I've been listening all morning. A whole bunch of people kept bringing up Markelle Fultz, and the last caller brought up a whole bunch of stuff and decisions that were made last offseason. So since I'm rewinding my life's 76ers DVR button, we're going back in time here, Mike. What I would really like to undo is give Brett Brown the third and fourth, fifth chance of, with honestly enough talent to win way more games than we have so far.
Brent, you're breaking up. So your point is you wouldn't have given Brett Brown the contract. You would have moved on from Brett Brown after they lost to Toronto.
Oh, honestly, yeah. Even though it ended in a way that was heartbreaking with the quadruple bounce, mm-hmm. I think they should have ended it then, because I think Brett Brown's been given enough talent, enough times.
Yeah, well, listen, there are a lot of people that feel that. I think it would have been really difficult for ownership to make that kind of a move. They went safe, and that they looked at it and said, man, that shot had to beat us, so he evidently didn't do that bad a job, so we'll chance it and come back with him. It's a hard decision to make to fire him at that point.
And I do think that they asked around for a pedigreed coach to see if one would be willing to leave mm-hmm. their situation. I don't think any coach did. I don't think they didn't just want to replace Brett just to replace him. I think they wanted, especially when Jimmy Butler's still in the fold at that point, they're probably figuring, can I get a name coach? Like, would Spoelstra have left? Would Carlisle mm-hmm. have left? Would Popovich probably not? But you get what I'm saying? I think the Sixers kicked the tires on name guys, because then Jimmy Butler buys in, and then you do bring him back. And you could have brought him and Tobias back and just paid the luxury tax. But all that came off the table wants none of those pedigree guys. Because if you brought in a young coach, he might be an upgrade over Brett, but Jimmy was still going to be gone.
Yeah.
Because Jimmy only likes what Jimmy likes. You had to try to thread a needle to get a coach based on last year's situation. That's why it's a little more complicated when you're dealing with psychos. And the NBA has a lot of psychos.
So you would have had to pick the young coach who Jimmy would have bought into, which means he wouldn't have bought into anybody.
Right. So
what would be the difference?
Exactly. Especially if you think, if you're on the fence about Brett, if you're still not sure. Maybe now they'd be more sure. But I'm 99% sure they asked around with the pedigree guys. Say, hey, anybody want to leave their team and come coach these guys?
I got to admit, we opined on that situation. And I said it was... If I was the owner, I probably wouldn't have cut Brett either.
I agree.
Based on that situation. It's just a tough circumstance. It's just very chancy to make a move coming off of that circumstance. Anything less than that, I may have gone for it. Anything less than a four bouncer buzzer beater, I may have gone for another guy.
Right. On a road game 7, that's a hard way to lose your job.
It is.
Just a brief note, Flyers.
Flyers?
Flyers Whoa. Game
finally
on,
got their time.
Yeah, 4 p.m.
4 p.m. Thursday?
On Thursday. Mm-hmm.
So we got two short shows coming up.
Yeah, so you know what that means? The first ever General Knowledge Friday this week on the Mike Missinelli Show.
General, we got B West coming up.
We
might have to postpone General Knowledge for a week.
No.
We can't.
Unless we can do, how about this? How about two-hour General Knowledges?
Ooh.
On Wednesday, Thursday.
We might be able to do that.
A double whammy.
Since we're only on 2 hours to give the most people a shot.
Yeah, we could do that. I think.
I like it a lot.
All right, let's think it over.
Yeah, well, we got some, there's certain sponsorship obligations that we have to fulfill.
Yes.
With that.
Okay.
That's the key.
All right. Let's go to Ron in Harleysville. Ron, you're on 97.5, the Fanatic. Ron.
Mike, just a couple things I want to go over, but in response to that caller a couple of calls ago, the Sixers actually looked at 6 players in the offseason. They looked at J.J. Redick, Kyle Korver, Seth Curry, Wes Matthews, Danny Green, and Deion Waiters. Redick priced himself out of what the Sixers were willing by taking a 2-year deal for $23 million.
Mm-hmm.
Korver chose his assistant coach that he had when he was at Milwaukee.
Uh-huh.
Curry got a 3-year deal that the Sixers weren't giving him $33
million. Right.
Matthews went somewhere to get a longer-term deal. Green wanted to play for the Lakers. And Waiters was sour on the Sixers all along. So, in fact, they did look for shooting help. They preferred Redick. But Redick priced himself up with his love affair with Philly and living in Brooklyn. And he goes to New Orleans for 2 years. So I don't know how much Brett had in that.
Right. It's not going to fall off a tree. And right. That's my point to the guy. It's easy to say, well, they need shooters. Another thing is how feasible is it to add a good shooter?
And that's what segues me into my latter point about Brett Brown. It's that this mindset of, well, we just got to go out and go get a shooter. Okay, well, who are you getting and how much you're paying for him and what's the long-term implications? But he went after 8 guys. And those guys priced themselves out. Where this ground, so we got to fire Brett Brown. Well, okay, well, let's just take a look at that, but I'll get to that in a second. Here's the thing with Ben Simmons, my beloved 76ers, I got to tell you, is that if you move him to the power forward, he becomes less than average NBA power forward. He can't finish. He's not that savvy in his low post moves. You've got to move him back to the ball because the one thing that makes him exceptional or unique is a 6'11 guy running down the court with the ball in his hands. He is a lost soul. You guys were right on when you said about his mindset, his persona, everything about this creation of him. He's a lost guy. But at least give him the ball back because at a power forward, he's less than average. I could think of 20.
I totally agree. Everything you said, I agree with, Ron. And I was leery of the change in the first place. But then I said, okay, I'm not the expert. This is the guy who's been studying the situation and reviewing video and talking to people, whatever. He's the coach, so I'll defer. But this is not the right move.
No, Mike, and we talked a lot. I was hard on you and you were hard on me about Simmons. And I'm so disappointed because I want him to be the star. Conversely, it's making me love Embiid more and more. I keep yelling at the TV, get the ball to Embiid, clear it out, because Embiid's embracing what it is to get the basketball, and I'm even liking Harris a little bit more because he can score. He's been
assertive. I like the way he's been playing.
Well, Mike, here's the last one. I take a beating for my family and everyone, is that I don't think another coach comes in and makes Ben Simmons better than he is. I don't, listen, I know it's a business decision, but I don't agree with it. They can't bring in someone to make that roster with Furkan and Horford, your 6 and 7, any better.
Yeah, but they can't keep it either. And I hear you're maybe the next coach can't make Ben Simmons any better. You can't do same old if you lose early in these playoffs. You got to shake something up. You're going to lose your fan base. You're going to lose your team. You're going to lose he will not have done enough to keep his job. It's really as simple as that. You have to go in a fresh direction if you're ownership to give your fan base a little more hope. You can't, the fan base, if you bring Brett Brown back, if they lose in the second round or God forbid the first round, you bring him back, you lost your fan base. Because from day one, when you lose, they're going to bitch and moan. 610-632-0975. Maybe no coach makes this guy shoot the basketball, but you got to give it a shot. Mike Missinelli Show. Back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
Yeah, we got a quick break, so don't go away. You just hang in there. And we're back on the Mike Missinelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic, with two open lines right now. 610-632-0975. 215-632-0975. All right, we got some new odds now. I assume that the people in Vegas watched that game also last night. The 76ers now are the fifth betting choice to win the Eastern Conference.
Okay.
Bucks, 5-7. Raptors, 9-2. Celtics, 13-2. Heat, 17-2. Sixers, 10-1.
That makes sense.
The Heat jumped over.
That makes sense.
You expect that?
Yeah.
Did you?
Based on what happened, yeah.
Yeah, based on what happened, but coming in to the new season of 8.
No, I thought they'd be fourth. Because I thought they ended up with the fifth best record. I mean, Indiana can't win.
No, Indiana is 60-1.
Yeah, the Indiana can't
win.
Yeah,
they lost it.
At least, like, even with an injury, Indiana can't win. The Heat could win with an injury. Somebody up for what under a good team. So could the Celtics. So, yeah, I didn't expect that, but I thought they'd be fourth. Plus, the bettors love the Celtics more than I actually love them on the court.
All right, in the Western Conference, who you got to win the West?
Well, the Lakers got to be favored.
8-5.
Then the Clippers.
9-5.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Very close. Next?
It's probably a big drop-off. Is Houston next?
Houston Rockets, 13-2.
And after that, is it Denver?
Denver, 12-1.
Yeah.
And then you got Oklahoma City, 20-1. Dallas, 25-1. Jazz, 31.
The good news for Sixers fans are they're going to get a first-round pick because OKC keeps winning.
Yes.
That
is the good part of it. All right, so let's now move to the PGA Tour. PGA Championship is this weekend.
Yeah,
And your favorite golfer is dusting off the cobwebs. He's actually going to play.
Yeah, it's a major.
Tiger Woods.
Yeah, it's a major.
All right, so where does he rank as far as the odds go?
We'll see, I'm going to guess he's like 8th.
He is tied for 6th.
Okay.
In the odds.
All right.
He's got no chance to win the PGA.
Why? I can't say no chance.
None.
Not after what happened with the Masters. I can't say no chance.
How long ago was that?
Last year.
He sits missing cuts.
Yeah, it's last year.
He hasn't played.
It was 14 months ago. It was like 14 months.
All right. I'm willing to make a bet, maybe.
Well, I don't think they're going to win.
He doesn't even make the cut.
Oh, he's going to make the cut.
You think so?
Yes. He make that bet.
I'm not so sure.
He's going to make the cut. I don't think he's going to win the tournament. I think he makes the cut.
28-1. I don't know how he's tied with Colin Morikawa and Webb Simpson, both of whom are playing fantastic golf.
Because those guys haven't won the big ones. Those guys will choke. These golfers choke. Who's the favorite?
Ty. I'll ask Brooks Koepka. Well, he's the defending champ.
That guy's a winner.
Yeah, but he's slopping it around.
Yeah, he has.
Last week he played. He was in contention until he hit his drive on 17th in the water.
Wow, he choked.
Justin Thomas and Brooks Koepka are tied at 10-1.
All right. I wonder who Tiger's playing with. I think that's out. It was out there somewhere, but I lost it. Who he's playing with the first day, first 2 days. I think he's playing with Thompson. I mean, Thomas.
Is he?
I think he's playing with Thompson.
Well, that's his buddy.
Yeah, I think they're playing together. That's somebody his buddy. Else.
It'd probably lobby to play together.
No.
Because right. They're buddies at the Medalist Golf Course. Bobby in Boyertown. What's up, Bobby?
Yo, Mikey Mitch.
What's going on, man? Where you been, brother?
Surviving, Mike.
Yeah, I hear you.
I hope your place isn't around any low water because it's going to
Well, interestingly enough, there was a tornado that went through my little shore town.
Solid.
And apparently, I'm okay from witnesses that are down.
Well, I left work at 2, and I just got home, which is like 40-minute drive. It took me an hour and a half. Everywhere is closed off. Besides the point, I'm going to change gears on you before I get to my question, Mikey. How refreshing is it to watch a Philadelphia sports team, the Flyers, come back from a break and still look like the team we thought they were, rather than, you know, they make it to an all-star break, and then they come back and they fall off? They look legit, Mike. I'm excited to watch them. I'm real pumped about that.
They're a cup contender.
100%.
Yeah, there's no question. I the only thing I looked at was whether would they were kind of young, and would they be able to sustain that kind of level of play? And they didn't miss a beat. And
right.
So you have to like give credit to those guys for that, for doing the right things during the pandemic and staying sharp, and the head coach for keeping them together.
And staying hungry like that. That's the most
exciting. Yes.
They look exactly the same as when they
Yes,
left.
They do.
Here's my question. I'm going to hang up and listen to you. If Ben Simmons stays like this, this is it. He's not going to shoot, but he's still special in other areas.
Mm-hmm.
What's the biggest waste? Ben Simmons not shooting or Allen Iverson not practicing?
Allen Iverson not practicing wasn't a waste. I mean, he kind of maximized his effort without practicing. So I would say that Ben Simmons not shooting a basketball would be the most peculiar thing that I've ever seen in sports.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Do you agree? I mean, Iverson, who knows? Could he have been much better than he was, Iverson?
I don't think so.
I don't know.
I mean, maybe he would have got a little bit bigger, but he was still going to be bony as hell, as he said.
Yeah.
So... he could maybe slightly.
He was a miracle. Like the fact that his physicality stayed at that level without him really doing the right things, proper nutrition, proper health hat, whatever.
That, I think, would have had a bigger toll. Not the practice. It was what he was doing in his off time. Had he got 8 hours of sleep more often?
I don't know. Would that have changed? I mean,
I wonder often. I wonder that often.
Yeah?
Yeah. What he
At the end of the day, he was still a 6'1", 6-foot guard who maximized his ability. I don't know how much more, how much better he would have been.
I don't think he would have been better.
If he went home at 9 o'clock.
I think he just would have lasted slightly longer.
Yeah, probably would have lasted longer.
I don't think, more than the MVP during the Shaq and Kobe era, like, it was hard to win an MVP. Like, that's a hell of an era if you want an MVP in.
I often wonder if he practiced and if he would have, you know, conditioned the way that, LeBron does.
He just might be one of those guys who was able to run all day without the, you know, like, and he did that for a good 10 years.
Yes.
Yeah.
Where he didn't, like, miss a physical beat.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, who knows?
The world will never know.
No, we won't know.
No.
But a player not shooting a basketball to me is bigger.
Oh yeah,
than just practicing.
No, I agree with you. All
shoot
right.
the ball.
Yes, Jason Stark. We'll talk some baseball issues with Jason Stark coming up in 5 minutes, and then your phone calls. And we got Sal Powell a little later. So good things happening. Stay right there. Mike Mussinelli show back after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.